Hi guys, good morning. You can take your seats, get the house lights on. Wow. 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 You know, you were created to worship something. Well, actually, you were created to worship God, and you will worship something. You may not realize it, but you will. Because God has put him in your heart. God has put eternity in the hearts of all mankind. We were created to worship God. Just our, a lot of people in our society aren't aware of that. But God has put it in your heart to worship him. And that's why when we come into church and people start to sing, you just feel that sense of connection. It's a spiritual thing that occurs when we worship God. Because our soul is blessing God. Wow. Wow. Well done, guys. Beautiful. Thank you. Always outstanding. Thank you. You can take your seats. Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to C3 Fremantle. It's such a privilege to have you here in our church. And if you're visiting with us, we just want to say thanks and great to see you. And I hope you're having a great month. And all the teachers, we bless you. You finally finished. Reports are in. Kids are gone, hopefully, and just so blessed to have our teachers serving our kids. And all of you, who's still at work? Who's still working? Who's on holidays officially? Anyone on holidays? Oh, we got a few. Ah, lucky guys. Lucky. Fantastic. It's just a great time of year. Well, the reason I was laughing at that really powerful video presentation about the snowmen was because under our tree I have a gift, because we do a lot of secret Santas in our house. The buying expensive gifts is probably not something we do as a family. It's not one of our values. We try to focus on other things at Christmas time. But we do gifts, and we have a lot of secret Santas to the value of $10, etc., for family and friends and stuff. But under the tree, there is a small box. As I was putting the other gifts, I noticed a small box. And it's to me, well, I think it's addressed to me, because it says, you know how you've got the sticker on the little, on the boxes that you pop? And it's got, and on that sticker, it's got to and from. Well, on this little box, it says to the wife from the husband. So I think that's me. So now that's – I saw that and I laughed, not to my darling wife. It's like to the wife from the husband. So I had to laugh. So, and then Sarah got quite cross with me. She's just come back from Sydney. She's been with C3 City Campus, Tim and Kira Lee Lowe, for the last couple of weeks, and she's going – the presents are under the tree. I'm going, Dal, hun, there's no Santa Claus. I need to tell you that. There's no Santa Claus. But while she was away, Santa came early. But as I was saying, Nigel and I were on long service leave recently, and we were in, I was saying it in the prayer meeting actually, and we were in this funny situation where we had this with this beautiful old church in Northern Cyprus. So Northern Cyprus is now occupied by the by Turkey, and there was this beautiful old church that had become a mosque. And so I wanted to go in and have a look at it. It's about 1,000 years old, and anyway, I love architecture. I love, you know, old architecture. Sorry, Greg Moore. The new stuff in Australia is a bit boring. I mean, everywhere you went, it was 1,000 years old. So I go into this this mosque that was a church, and this man says to me, for some reason, I'm really chatty on holidays, and for some reason, I mean, I'm chattier, I should say, and for some reason, he says, you, German lady, there was this German lady who didn't speak a word of English, she goes, and you and German lady, down the end, St. Nicholas. And I went, oh, okay. So this lady looks at me, she doesn't speak a word of English. And in the mosques, women are not allowed to pray with the men. They have their own section. But obviously a lot of women in this mosque didn't pray, because it was where they put the old lost and found, the umbrellas, the broken chairs. But down the end there was this, he says, and then he's like, we're going, where do we go? Because, you know, I'm obviously in a mosque. I don't want to be disrespectful. And so he says, you German lady, come with me. So we go down and we go into the area where it's the women's prayer area. And he goes, St. Nicholas, he's there. And I'm going, oh, okay. So Nige doesn't want to do it. He's out having coffee. And I'm taking this photo. I thought, oh, St. Nicholas, Father Christmas, you know, St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas is buried there. So anyway, when I got home back here and I was researching it, it seems that St. Nicholas was buried in northern Cyprus, Venice, and somewhere else in Italy. I was like, darn it. So you never know, do you? Anyway, there we go. It's nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. But what we are going to talk about this morning, and I was teasing my husband because we will often do that, is he will get onto the same page that I'm on. And we're going to talk this morning about Mary, and she was the Mother of God, as most of you would know if you've got some Christian background. And the title of my message this morning is Believe, Trust and Act. And we're going to start off with, just for those of you that maybe don't come to church or haven't been in church for a long time, we're just going to have a very short look at her life and her journey to start with, of how she carried the Son of God. And we've got a presentation for that.
Many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and shown me. breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of
heaven. Reading from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her. "For God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby, for I am a virgin?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and his name will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true." And the angel left. You know, the question I've often wondered over the years is, what if Mary had said no? You see, Mary didn't have to carry Jesus. The Bible says that we all have a choice and we have free will. And so when the angel came to her, she could have said no. She could have gone on as a young woman. God would not have forced himself upon her. She could have said, "You know what, my life's pretty good right now. I've met this really great guy. We're going to get married. We're going to have children," and those days they would have had a lot of children, "and you know, I'm going to keep house, my husband's got a great occupation, I'm going to live a great normal kind of life." If anything, we may say it could have been an ordinary kind of life for a young woman growing up in that time. And so she could have easily said no. Maybe she could have said maybe. "You know, Gabriel, why don't you just give me a week or two? I just want to keep my options open. You know, I've got all these things that I've got planned for my life. Why don't you come back in a year or two or a decade or two? Because I just want to go out and I want to have fun and I want to do all sorts of things. And then when I'm ready to have Jesus come into my world, then you can send him." She could have said, But how am I going to tell my family that I'm pregnant? But how am I going to tell the guy that I'm getting married to, that he's not going to get that I've got this in me without having you know what? So, but her but was yes. She didn't ask about the salary conditions. She didn't ask for a car, she didn't ask for superannuation or even the health insurance package if things went wrong. Mary said yes. And in that moment, her whole direction of her life changed from the ordinary and the normal to something that history had never recorded before. And we will often look at her life and think, well, she was Mary, the Son of God. That's just okay. But I want to say to you today that you have at your fingertips the opportunity to make choices and the direction that God has for your life, and the pages of history have not yet been written. But you have to choose if it will be a yes. Because you could choose a maybe. "I'll think about it. I'll just see." You know, when my kids were, they're pretty much adults now, but one of the things that used to frustrate me about when they were growing up was they would keep their options open about accepting an invitation to something. Well, you know, something better might come up. And I'm from a generation where if you were invited, you said yes, and then you went and you went on time and you got there. You didn't get there an hour late because that was cool. You actually got there on time because that was cooler, because as a Christian, your yes was yes. So you did it and you were on time and you didn't keep all your options open. You didn't do the whole, but I want, you know, the $200,000 a year house and car package with the super and that. You just said, God, what are the plans you have for me? It was yes. She said yes. She had to do a few things, though, for her to say yes. She had to believe, she had to trust, and she had to act. Ignatius says, few souls understand what God would accomplish in them if they were to abandon themselves unreservedly to Him and if they were to allow His grace to mold them accordingly. You see, Mary had to believe. Just imagine for a moment if you too today chose to believe in Jesus Christ. If you chose to believe in Him. You see, as I said earlier, every one of us are believing in something. It may not be Jesus today, but we are believing in something because the direction of our life is leading us that way. It could be we believe in our career. It could be we believe in meeting the right girl or having a family or climbing the ladder or traveling the world or whatever it is, we're believing in something. But just imagine today if you believed in Jesus Christ as Mary did. I mean, really believed. What would the purpose and plans that God has for you look like? Because every one of us have a purpose and a plan. It was foretold before Jesus was born in Jeremiah 29:11. And God said, now this is important because people often say to me, but Pastor Andrea, you know, my perception of God is that He's hard and He's mean and He's a taskmaster. And if I do one thing wrong, when I was in Turkey recently, the constant comment that I would get from good Muslims, people trying to be good people, was that there's so many rules and regulations. I just don't know how to be a good Muslim. And that just challenged my thinking because the Jesus of the Bible, the God of the Bible says that my plans and my thoughts for you are for good, to give you a hope and a purpose. They're not for evil. And so Jeremiah 29:11 says, the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord, are for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, even before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were formed, before you were even thought about by your parents, God knew you. And He knew the plans that He had for you. They were good plans. They weren't plans to hurt you or destroy you or they weren't plans to make your life miserable. People say, Andrew, if I become a Christian, it means I'm going to have to go up to Kathmandu and live in a monastery and live a horrible life. I go, that's not the plans God has for you. His plans for you are for good. They're good plans. What father on earth, the Bible says, would give His child a stone if they ask for bread? What more will your heavenly Father give to you, Jesus said? Would He not give you the kingdom? Are you not the sons and the daughters of God? But what we have to do is God can say to us, I've got great plans for you. I've got a purpose for your life. I love you. God can say that, but you've got to choose to believe it. You have to believe that the plans that God has for you are actually even better than your plans. They're actually better than your plans. See, the Creator of the universe, our Savior, has plans that are going to be anything but ordinary. But Mary had to believe. She had to believe that what God said, the plans that He said, we're going to be for good. I love what Pastor Rick Warren says. He says, you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. It'll never make sense. Mary had to believe. She also had to trust. In Luke 1:38, Mary says to the angel, I am the Lord's servant and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. Oh my, I could spend next year on that one. Oh my, I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. You see, Mary was willing to trust God with her life. And it's been my observation as a pastor and an observer of human nature for a lot longer that we find it hard to trust God. Particularly in the Western context, because we don't actually need God. We've got food, we've got social security, we've got housing, we've got transportation, we live in a democracy, we can vote, we cannot vote. Who needs God? Why do I need to give God my life? Why do I need his purposes and plans? I've got enough of my own. Isn't Christianity for those really weak, kind of needy people? And what I find so tragic is that people miss who Jesus Christ is. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You see, Christmas predates Santa Claus. Because the ultimate gift was Jesus Christ. As I said, we don't actually know where Santa's buried. I hope there's, if there's kids in this auditorium, I've ruined it. You're supposed to be out there having a party. It's your fault. You see, John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ. And God's gift to you and I this Christmas was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Why? Quite simply, was because he loved us that much. John 3:3 tells us that God is love. It's the very essence of who he is. It's his very being. And so I believe for Mary to have been able to have trusted God, she needed to have experienced his love. I do not believe, and I this is my thinking, is that I don't believe that one day an angel just shows up and she goes, yep, I'm there. I believe what happened was that from a child until that point in time, she knew God. She was a girl that was, I don't know what they, she might have been looking after sheep. She might have had to have baked the bread or done the washing. I don't know what she would have done in that culture. But I am sure that throughout her young life, God was preparing her for that moment. Because that's what he'll do with you and I. He will prepare you for that moment. He's not just going to show up and say, oh, by the way, you're going to change history. What he will do is he will, through the tiniest little things of life, he will get you ready for those moments. Where in one moment your world will change. In one moment. You see, that's why she could say yes. Now, the reason I believe that was the case is, and I so don't put myself in her category, but when I was a young girl, my neighbor brought me to church. Beautiful Dutch lady brought my brother and my sister and I to church. I came into a church very similar to this. It was happy. The music was happy. Everyone seemed happy. I loved it. My home life was not happy. And so very early on as a child, I encountered Christ. I cannot give you scientific evidence to prove that I encountered Christ. Can't give it to you. If you're married today, I can tell you there's no scientific evidence as to why you picked that fella. But you did. You can't prove it. Love is something you can't prove as such. I encountered Christ. What I would do is, these were the days where you could do this, was I would sneak out of my bedroom window and I would sit on the lawn and I'd talk to God. We call that prayer, but I didn't know that. I just talked to God. I had an immediate connection, experience, relationship with Christ as a child. over the years, that has built up to now, over 40 years later, still a Christian, still following Christ. Along the way, when I have felt the prompting of God, it's been easier to do because I know God. And I believe that's what happened to Mary. I believe that God was preparing her for that moment. So it was easy for her to say, God, if that's what you want, I've experienced you. I've experienced your love. I've experienced that you're a good God. And so as a result of that, I can trust you. And so all of us will have situations where we are going to have to trust God. But what we've done is we have, and I, as I said, I love art and I love history, but one of the unfortunate things is we've made Mary out to be this weak, kind of anemic looking woman, and we've sainted her to the point where she has become superhuman. And her greatest legacy that she has left you and I today was not that she carried the Son of God. Her greatest legacy was that a young girl said yes. It was yes. It was yes. Because you and I are going to be given opportunities and situations, and God is going to ask us to do something. And are we going to be able to say, God, yes. Yes. But it comes because we trust. It comes back there when she was a girl. And we start to trust God. God has plans for every person here today. You know, this is a scripture I've been reading for months now. It's in the Message Bible. It's Colossians 1. It says, it is the Father, Heavenly Father, who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful he has for us. My question today is, what bright and beautiful things does your Father have for you today? Because they're bright and they're beautiful. And then the third thing that Mary did is she acted. You know, I saw this on Facebook. Yeah, okay. Let's just have a look. You've got to love Facebook sometimes. 99% of it's like, oh, I'm not sure. This made me chuckle. Actually, it's not chuckle. It's quite true. Have we got that next slide? Who liked House? My husband loved that show. I didn't like it, but Nigel loved it. But he was actually quite clever. He said this. Read it. No. Yes, you're clever. Hugh Laurie said, it's a terrible thing, I think, in life to wait until you're ready. I have this feeling now that actually no one is ever ready to do anything. Sheila, there is almost no such thing as ready. There is only now. And you may as well do it now. Generally speaking, now as good as the time as any. Why not? Why not? Mary believed God, she trusted God, and now she acted. You see, what she did was Mary actually participated in the plans that God had for her. You may not be aware that after the angel spoke, a few days later, Luke 1:39 says, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where her cousin Elizabeth lived. This was a 145-kilometre journey over hilly, rocky terrain. And scholars believe it would have taken Mary about 10 days on foot. It wasn't an easy journey. I just love this. She believes God, she trusts God, and then she participates in the plans that God has for her. She did something. She could have sat back and she could have said, I'm carrying the Son of God. I'm going to read every parenting book there is to know. Or God will do it all. I just am his servant and he'll do it all. This young chick gets up and she walks 10 days, 10 hard days to go because God was preparing an Elizabeth. Part of Mary's destiny, part of Mary's calling, part of Mary's life was tied up in the life of someone else. Don't ever think you can do life on your own. You see, your destiny is tied up in mine and mine is tied up in yours. The Bible says that we are a body knitted together. We can't do it without each other. That was never God's plan. Think about this. God didn't need Mary. He didn't need anyone. He could have just, God, Jesus could have just appeared. But he chose to use you and I. And he will choose to use you and I to accomplish his purposes. You know, I've met many people, and I'm sure you have over the years, who just keep putting things off. They're not into the now, they're into the later. Years ago, I met a man. He believed that God had given him a great idea for a clothing range. He even had the name of the clothing range. When I asked him, wow, it's because I'm just not that way inclined. I just wish I was, but I'm not that way inclined. I've lots of great ideas, but, you know, clothing ranges is not one of them. And I was like, gee, that's just awesome. I said, what are you doing? Tell me all about it. He said, oh, no, I'm not doing anything. This is true. He said, God's given me the idea. He'll make it happen. I said to him, actually, that's really bad theology. I said, I need to correct you there. I said, God has given you a great idea, but you need to do something about that. You need to participate in that. You need to act that out. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We can sit back and wait for it to happen, but I can tell you life will slip you by because God is looking for women and men like Mary's who are front-footed saying, I've got the promise inside of me. I'm bringing it to me and I'm not going to wait until, what was God going to do? Drop a Chinese clothing factory? I don't know. I can tell you, I don't know whatever happened, but I did sort of know that person for a while. I don't think anything happened. Just putting it out there. See, God operates where this is the mystery of God. It's like a collision course with God's desires and us. It's like His desires and our participation. And it's like they collide. It's the weirdest thing. It's like God has it. You see, God loves His world. No question about it. He loves every single person from every single race and every single religion. God loves His world. He loves it. He's crazy about this world. And His desire, the Bible says, is that none should not know Him. None should not have the freedom of their best life. He wants them to have that freedom. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ. The rules and the regulations were abolished at Christ. It was grace that would abound. But the weird thing about God is that He wants our involvement and participation to see that through. You know, I just remember, you know, 20 plus years ago, and I was just, as we were worshipping and Eunice was singing that song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, and I was thinking, sorry, you know, 20 years ago, God gave me a picture of a bunch of people in Fremantle worshipping in a warehouse. And then this week I had a dream about Wellard, hundreds of people. We have to participate. He's got the dreams for you. He's got the plans for you. But He wants that to collide. And I know that there are people here today that are disappointed. And you've gone, God, I had a dream. I trusted You. I believed You and I had a dream. You know, I don't think Mary would have gone through with it if she'd known her son was going to be crucified. She wouldn't have gone through with it. But, you know, through that resurrection, we have life. There are things here today where you are disappointed because you think, God, where were those plans that I so truly believed in? I'm here today to tell you to keep trusting. It's not over. I know there are people today that have been hurt and disappointed. Can I say to you today, you know, it's not going to be an easy road. You know, I am not going to be one of these preachers that says, come to Jesus. It's going to be wonderful. It's your best life, but it's not for the faint-hearted. It's for the tough women that were prepared to risk the ridicule, the shame of her society, the stoning of her society. She could have been murdered for that. The ostracization because she believed in a promise that God had given her. Christianity is not for the weak-hearted. God will ask you to do things that you think are impossible, but for God they're not. And he will take his incredible supernatural plans to see that this world is free from its pain, and he will use you and I to do that. Can I ask you today, can you believe in Jesus Christ? Believe in the plans that he has for you. Can I ask you to trust him? Trust him with your life. And can I ask you to do something? Will you act? Martin Luther King Jr., I think we would all say one of the greatest men who ever lived. He died for his faith. He died for what he believed in. He said these words. He said, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. That's all God wants you to do. That's all he wanted Mary to do, was just take that step. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Why don't we just stand to our feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I just want to give every person here an opportunity and just to reconnect with Christ at Christmas. I just feel that there are people here that just need to say, that's me. You know, I thought that, you know, there are people here that you've tried to be a good Muslim. You've tried to do everything according to the rules and the regulations. And, you know, Jesus doesn't want that. He wants a relationship with you. A loving Father so loved you that he gave himself in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. Stop trying today. We close our eyes right now. I just want to give people an opportunity to say, I want that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want that relationship. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm not intending to embarrass you, but you're serious about it. You know, this is one of those moments where your life will change. The course and the direction of your life will change. People here today that have been disappointed, they've gone, oh my gosh. You know, so many people I meet who say to me, Andrew, if I'd known about Jesus earlier, I'm sure it would have saved my marriage. I'm sure it would have helped me with my kids. And I just want to say, don't delay. You don't have to do it on your own. It's not what God wanted. It's never his intention. And there are young people here today. I just feel that sense of there's a lot of, you know, the idea of, you know what, maybe. I'll do God when I'm finished with what I want to do with my life. There's plenty of time. I want to say to you today that life will slip you by. And imagine if God's plans were greater than yours. Wouldn't that be scary? You got into middle age and thought, oh, maybe I didn't do such a good job after all. Why don't you do the Mary today? Why don't you say, God, you know what? I'm going to trust that your plans are bigger. And save yourself the pain of making a mess along the way. Would you pray all of us together? Can we say this prayer? And then I'm going to ask you, if you prayed it and you meant it and you want to just come back to Jesus, or you want to accept Jesus, or you just need him giving you those plans. You feel like you've just lost your way. I just want you to indicate to me, and then I'd love to pray with you later. Would you pray this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that you came to earth in heavenly form to show me that you loved me. And God, I recognize today that I need Jesus in my life. Please forgive me for trying to do it on my own. Today, I want you. I want your plans and I want your purposes for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Do you want to give me a wave today if that's you? You said, Andrew, I've prayed that. Yep, I'm someone down here. Is there anyone else? I'm just going to have another look. Sometimes the lighting's hard for me to see. Is there anyone else? Just going to give it an extra moment. Just if you feel that you just have lost your way, I want to pray with you as well. Is there anyone else? I'm just going to give it one more minute. Awesome. Fantastic. So I don't want to embarrass you that you put your hand up, but just love to pray with you. So we'll do that after the service if that's okay. And it's one more service to Christmas, the 24th carol service. Be blessed. You guys are the greatest people on the planet. You are. You're the greatest people. My prayer as your pastor is that you get out there and you just show the love of Jesus Christ to a world that's confused. We have the best life, guys, and the plans that God has for you are going to blow your mind. Scare the living daylights out of you, but they're going to blow your mind. So proud of you. Love you, guys. Have a great morning, and we'll see you on the 24th or Board Short Sunday. You get to wear your boardies. We drink milkshakes and have sausages. God bless you.